Welcome to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Aubrey Mass.
Earlier today.
It is a different kind of honesty than earlier today. We started the conversation in the midst of all of the hearings, and I think...
So let's, just so that people can maybe understand why we sound a little rattled. Mm-hmm. We recorded this podcast earlier today when Dr. Ford, they were taking a break in her testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And in that recording, we were making it clear, listen, we haven't heard all of the testimony, but this is, but it's time to record because it's record day.
Right.
And then there's a lot that has happened
since then.
In those hearings since then, it's been all day. Mm-hmm. It is almost 10 o'clock at night Eastern, almost 9 o'clock Central. And we said we need to record again.
Yeah.
So that's where we are now.
And it has been, I kept coming back to when we started the eclipse season, right? And we were talking about how does this feel? And we would equate it with being on a roller coaster and the ups and the downs and the ups and the downs. I feel like today has been that. Like if we had put up what we recorded earlier, you and I were very impassioned, very worked up. A lot of our Scorpio and Aries energy was very vivid. Because the reality is we can very clearly touch with visceral memories in this life and in all of our lives of the pain that Dr. Ford spoke about, the assault that she went through. And behind that, there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of anger. And we can tap into that very easily. And then as the day has proceeded to move forward, we got to see Kavanaugh, his reaction. And I think I went through a whole entire process around that where the mourning began, the sadness began, the recognition of, wow, this is how we treat vulnerability a lot of times, is that we get real angered and we get real reactive to it and we try to squash it. And that's worked for a really long time. And that makes me really, really sad.
One of the things that really has, I'm really rattled that when he first started talking, he was angry and indignant, mm-hmm. very much like, how dare you do this to me? How dare you question me ever? How dare you accuse me of something like this? How dare you? And I fell for it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, maybe we were wrong.
Oh, I did the same thing too.
Uh-huh.
Because my programming kicked in.
That's right.
My programming kicked in. My programming kicked in after, I'm triggered today. I'm back in my assault. I'm triggered in my assault currently and going, oh, well, I mean, Aubrey, you played a role. Well, Aubrey, you know, like it wasn't that bad. Well, he was a little, he couldn't be trustworthy. Like I got triggered too, and triggered in the sense of like, oh, well, maybe I had this all wrong. Maybe I painted this in a light that was not really true. Like maybe, oh, his tears have to be valid.
I don't want to destroy his life.
Right.
They won't even call in the FBI to fact find.
He won't even acknowledge the fucking question.
They asked him if he wanted for the FBI to come in and he wouldn't answer.
He wouldn't even address it. There was not even a moment where he looked in the eye of all three who asked him and he addressed it at all. He went into that denial and that place of, oh, well, you have all the information you need. You don't need to ask any more.
He said the Senate panel was doing the investigation right then.
Yeah, no, that's not what they're there for. That's not what they're doing. That's not what the Senate is doing at that point in time. That's not what's happening. And I think that the reason why I find this so triggering is because what we saw play out today is one woman among millions of women that have gone through this experience and have been fucking smacked in the face over and over and over again by men just like this that have raised their voice and been like, how dare you accuse me? How dare you go against my word? How dare you stand up against my power? Who the fuck do you think you are?
How dare you ruin my good name that I've worked decades to establish?
Over and over and over again. That's what we consistently hear. And then the patterning that really gets me fucked up is that I still have it in my head. I still have it in my head of, oh, well, maybe he's not bad. Maybe he's just being defensive for no reason. Maybe he just doesn't want an FBI investigation because he doesn't think it's necessary. I still get hooked into that patterning of, well, I want to justify somebody else's actions because I surely don't know, but I fucking do know. I know when you know when people speak of truth, especially when they speak of fucking truth about their trauma that they went through. When you have enough courage to speak about your truth, if the trauma that you withstood, that does not need to ever be questioned.
Aubrey, if you were going to be nominated for the Supreme Court for the rest of your life,
right?
Of your life, and somebody came in and said, she's a child abuser, wouldn't you be like, call the FBI immediately?
Now. Two minutes ago, when you have that thought, that's when you needed to call the FBI because I need you to do the proper investigation.
And
I have nothing to hide.
And wouldn't you say, I don't care if it takes a month. Dig it all up. I'll wait. I don't care.
Exactly. If I'm supposed to be in this position, I will let you take a year. I don't give a fuck. You prove that I am standing on truth because my word is not good enough now. I got it. We're talking about a lifelong fucking appointment here. This is the highest court in the land. Like, this is the Holy Grail.
And all they're willing to do is a he said, she said in one day.
But they're not even willing to do that fairly. You get a prosecutor to interrogate Dr. Ford with her allegations of sexual assault. And then where does the prosecutor go when the man takes the stand? Oh, all of a sudden now we don't have to treat him with the same respect that we were treating her. We can talk to him directly. We could never speak to the woman directly.
Well, she started out questioning him. It started out with her questioning him.
Right.
And I feel like the senators were like, we're not screwing around with this shit anymore. Get her out of here. I'm going to take over.
Right.
So that they can start yelling and screaming.
Oh, yeah. So Lindsey Graham could pound his chest like a baboon. That's what happened. It was a circus show of, oh, this is a tragedy. This is horrible. We're making a mockery. Really? You're making a mockery of this man's life when you're appointing him for a lifelong term and there's four really valid allegations and accusations on the table that call into question his character on top of multiple people that have been quoted and witnessed his behavior. You don't think you would want to validate that he's actually an upstanding citizen?
I'm concerned that what we're witnessing is something far more incendiary than we currently realize in this moment.
I definitely think it is. I think that what we witnessed today was an attack on the feminine and the masculine. And I think we talked about this in the other podcast that we recorded, that there is a pitting going on one against the other and that you may take sides. And what I saw today was that very thing. Don't believe her. Believe him, he's the upstanding citizen, or believe her because he's not. Like, there is, there's a pitting going on rather than a true vulnerability that's taking place. And I am equally as worried as, if not completely fearful, of where we are headed. Because I think that there's some serious lines. I mean, if you listen to Lindsey Graham's words, he threw his sword down. He made a major declaration that is extremely inflammatory. And I don't take it lightly that if Kavanaugh gets appointed, there's going to be some reactions to it. And rightly so.
So what do we do? There are things that are becoming obvious in the last couple of hours. There's protests being organized, okay, that are going to take place tomorrow when this goes up.
Right.
I think that. Sorry.
Don't apologize. We are in it. It's uncomfortable.
I think it's important that as we are heading into major shifts, that we really think about an even bigger picture of what in the fuck are we doing? Mm-hmm. What is happening? There is old structures, old rules, old paradigm, old methods of control mm-hmm. that are collapsing. It's really important that whenever the old system is starting to break down, they are not going to go out lightly.
No, they're going to go on a fight. That's what we witnessed today.
They're going to make us fight each other. They're going to tell us to be afraid. They're going to say, you need me. It's going to be those three. And it's really important that we understand that that is a system that's flailing on the way down.
Yeah, don't touch it.
They're flailing to take control.
Right.
And so rather than going to fight them, well, we fight at the voting booth, okay? But we also show up in solidarity together on what we stand for, not necessarily just what we stand against, but what do we stand for?
Right.
What do we stand for? It's like, if I were a man right now, I would be fucking mortified by what is happening to the masculine. Yeah. I would be like, holy shit, what is going on?
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, like, God, this is so fucking triggery.
It's so triggery. I mean, all of the trauma and the assault comes right back up. I had this very same conversation earlier tonight. Because in my world, I have two men that stood up and they said, you know, I witnessed some bullshit that they were joking about today on the Senate floor with Kavanaugh. They're like, I witnessed that when I was in high school. I heard about it because that's what the guys did. They talked about it. I heard about it. And I didn't say anything about it. And they put that out with saying, hey, I'm saying something about it now because I was really fucked up and I didn't realize it then, but I'm realizing it now that I have to speak about this. I can no longer hold my tongue and look the other way.
And we have to let them speak up now and not rake them over the fucking coals because they didn't do it before, because we don't want that to happen to women either.
Right. We've already been down that road. That's how we ended up in the witch trials. We cannot flip the script on the masculine because of it. It's extremely triggering.
One of the ways that I've described the Galactic Center, Galactic Center is at 27.
Yep.
It was at 26 when we were born. There's people still alive that it was at 25 when they were born. I've got North Node, Venus, Juno, Ceres, all around the Galactic Center. In ways that other people, I think, probably don't quite get. I can feel the Galactic Center. I can feel it. Mm-hmm. In astrology, we call the Galactic Center the Eye of God.
Yep.
So the vision that God has for humanity, for every human on the planet, is Sagittarian. Sagittarius is about keeping hope alive no matter what. Mm-hmm. That we have unlimited possibilities. And the beliefs we hold will dictate the world we live in. We've talked about this. When we're in a moment like this, and it's like fight, flight, quit, take up arms, what the hell? I don't fucking know what to do.
All of it.
I come back to feeling the galactic center. There are massive shifts that are happening in the astrology. It's Pluto, it's Saturn, it's Jupiter, it's Uranus, it's Chiron, it's Neptune. Massive shiftings in the world that haven't happened in centuries. And I don't know how far back you'd have to go to have them all aligned at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, more than 2000 years, I think. Don't quote me on that. But why, right? Like my deal is why.
Right.
Why is this happening? And right before these shifts started clicking in, Saturn was at the galactic center. Mm. And I remember it saying, you must be willing to stand up for what you truly believe in, no matter what. Because no matter what is coming.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that and having that very same conversation with you of going, what does this mean, though, no matter what? What does this mean that I have to stand up for it? And I think that every click we get closer, it's becoming more and more clear. Right. It's no longer a luxury to be apathetic and quiet.
Right. So whenever that was happening, Saturn at the galactic center, so this was around December 19th of 2017. Right. Saturn's in Capricorn now. When that was happening, I was looking at the chart, feeling Saturn saying that to us around the galactic center and seeing all the shifts that were going to start clicking into place relatively all at once. And my feeling is that the eye of God, the center of the galaxy, the vision that God has for humanity. It's like there's an ultimate meditator, and we are what the meditator is meditating about.
Mm-hmm.
For all of those shifts to happen at once, my opinion is something has happened to the meditator.
Mm.
If we're what the meditator is meditating about, the meditator is meditating about beheadings.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like something has happened to the meditator for the meditator to be like, I can't take it anymore. And the meditator is trying to get the shit out of consciousness and heal upwards. That's why I say we don't quit. That we say to the meditator, clearly something is going on with you and I'm with you. We will heal. We will heal consciousness itself all the way up. And I can feel the meditator going, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We stay because we are a meditation that has gone dark enough. Enough. Mm-hmm. The darkness that you feel in your own head when you're like, oh fuck, I don't know if I could get this out of here. That's what's happening to the meditator.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be willing to keep hope alive no matter what, to stand up for what we truly believe in, and to really, really honest to God, stand in the name of we have unlimited possibilities and we are not bound by the suffering we've seen so far. We're not bound by that.
Right. I think of it in terms of the body, right? Like when we're really inflamed, where we have itchy skin and itchy scalp, we'll have trouble sleeping, we'll have under eye circles, right? Our digestion will be a real off. We'll just feel awful in our bodies. And I take it as like that moment we go on a purging, on a detox, where we say, you know what, there's some real fucked up hidden toxins in my system that have been weighing me down, and they've probably been there for a really long time. Now is the time that I purge them. Now is the time that I detoxify them. And we do that all at once. We go on a protocol that has herbs, that has oils, that has bentonite clay, that has everything all at once. We're going to rid our systems all at once. And it looks like hell. We're doubled over. We're in pain. We are in the bathroom. We're excreting all of the toxins that have been built up, and it looks scary as shit.
Pulling it out of our feet.
Yes, it's coming out from everywhere. and you're in the midst of it going, I don't know if I can make it through the other side. Like, is this going to make me really well? Am I going to feel a lot better in my body? Am I going to be clear then? Am I going to be resolved of all this inflammation? There's going to be no more toxins? Because going through it's rough. I feel like hell. And then there's that promise, right? Like, there's that awareness. There's the galactic center for you. Like, it's that knowledge of, like, my birthright is to feel well. My birthright is to feel well. It is not, it's all of our birthrights to not fucking suffer, to not normalize the suffering. That is our goddamn birthright. So yes, we hold that note. Yes, we tell the meditator, I'm with you. I'm not giving up. Yes, we tell our bodies, all right, all the toxins are going. All the shadows that we see in the collective, out they go. Out they go. Pitch them. Mass cleaning, spring cleaning of everything we see. Is it going to look scary as fuck? Yes, it already does. Look at how you and I are completely triggered, and this is just the beginning of it. And yet, what else are we going to do?
It affects everyone.
Everyone under the sun.
At the moment, we're talking about America, but this, I mean, there's been uprisings in countries all over the world.
I mean, all you have to do is look at the tariff situation, the UN, it's happening everywhere. Because we live in America, we are seeing these things play out within our own soil, however it impacts every single human being on this planet at this time. Because as you have said many a times, we are all under the same stars and planets. We keep going and we keep coming back to presence.
Thank you for listening in to the Be the Evidence podcast with Susan and I. We are really grateful that you are here, that you're showing up, that you're willing to be seen, and that you're exploring these conversations. Thank you. If you're curious at all about the offerings and the readings that Susan and I do, I would really urge you to go to our websites. There you will find a lot more information about who we are and the services that we have. Susan can be found at susangrace.org, and I can be found at aubreycara.co. For all of our listeners of the podcast, we have set up a Patreon page specific to you guys. There you will find services that are not available to anyone else. And you can find us on patreon.com/bethe evidence podcast. When you're there, there are two different options for you to have access to a guided meditation and or a reading with Susan and I both. If you ever have any questions or comments or feelings that you would love to share or stories about how the podcast is resonating with you, we would love to hear them. Please feel free to reach out to us at betheevidencepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, please know we are deeply grateful for all the ways that you are showing up. We see you, we hear you, we feel you. Thank you.